जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधव गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धा गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन रावणचारी यमुनातीरावणचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 28 पुरंजना बिकम्स अ वुमन इन द नेक्स्ट लाइफ टेक्स्ट नंबर 21। कथम नुदारकादीना दारकेर्वापरायणः वर्तिष्यन्ते मयि गते भिन्ननाव इवो दधौ कथम नु दारकादीना दारकीर्वापरायणा वर्तिष्यन्ते मयि गते भिन्ननाव इवो दधौ कथम नु दारकादीना दारकीर्वापरायणः वर्तिष्यन्ते मयि गते भिन्ननाव इवो दधौ Katham, how, nu, indeed, nu, indeed, darakaha, sons, dinaha, poor, darakihi, daughters, va, or, aparayanaha, having no one else to depend on, Vartishyante will live, Mayi when I, Gate gone from this world, Bhinna broken, Navaha boat, Iva like, Udadhau in the ocean. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. King Puranjana continued worrying, quote, after I pass from this world, how will my sons and daughters, who are now fully dependent on me, live and continue their lives? Their position will be similar to that of passengers aboard a ship wrecked in the midst of the ocean. End quote. Purport. At the time of death, every living entity worries about what will happen to his wife and children. So if you don't have wife and children, you don't have worries. Similarly, a politician also worries about what will happen to his country or his political party. Unless one is fully Krishna conscious, he has to accept a body in the next life according to his particular state of consciousness. Since Puranjana is thinking of his wife and children and is overly engrossed in thoughts of his wife, he will accept the body of a woman. Similarly, a politician or so-called nationalist who is inordinately attached to the land of his birth will certainly be reborn in the same land after ending his political career. One's next life will also be affected by the acts one performs during this life. Sometimes politicians act most sinfully for their own sense gratification. It is not unusual for a politician to kill the opposing party. Even though a politician may be allowed to take birth in his so-called homeland, he still has to undergo suffering due to his sinful activities in his previous life. This science of transmigration is completely unknown to modern scientists. So-called scientists do not like to bother with these things, because if they would at all consider this subject matter and the problems of life, they would see that their future is very dark. Thus they try to avoid considering the future and continue committing all kinds of sinful activities in the name of social, political, and national necessity. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Vyashcha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So first of all I'd like to welcome our RVC Prabhus. When the morning announcement was made, I was not here to offer my obeisances because I was inside getting ready for morning dressing, but very nice that you could join us. We are discussing from the fourth canto the chapters where Narada Muni is narrating an allegorical story to King Prachina Barhishat. Prachina Barhishat is the father of the Prachetas, and his sons have all gone to perform severe austerities under the ocean, under water. And Narada considers that the sons are going to get super mercy from Lord Shiva and they're going to become perfected souls. What about their father? And their father, King Prachina Barhishat, is a very pious king and is performing many, many, many Vedic sacrifices. But he is fruitively inclined. The reason he performs all these Vedic sacrifices because of a fruitive mentality. And he's very attached. So Narada Muni is trying to help him detach so he can actually pursue the goal of life. So when to tell someone you're attached is a painful thing because they can't take it. First thing is either they'll be in denial or they may become angry or they may not consider. When there is attachment, good instruction doesn't touch the heart unless one is eagerly wanting to go beyond the attachment. So to make the message easy, Narada Muni is narrating this allegory. The allegory is about King Puranjana. So every aspect of this allegory is to do with our body. So Puranjana means the conditioned soul. Puram is the city, Jana is the resident of this city, the soul. And he's the king of Panchala Desha, the kingdom that has five senses. And it has nine gates, etc. So he's describing this story, which is nothing but King Prachina Barhishat's situation, which is all of our situation as well. And so I'm not going to go through all of it, but he's talking about how he is enamored by a very attractive woman who actually is his intelligence. And being subservient to his intelligence, he does all these pious activities. She makes him really dance at her fingertips. And in this severe attachment to his wife, he has fathered 1100 sons and 110 daughters, which are all the varieties of activities, pious activities that one does. And he's just lying down on the arms of his wife, passing away life without considering what life is all about. And so when the critical time happens, appears, Chandavega, who is also time, comes to knock at his door. And he comes with his daughter. His daughter is called Kalakanya, and she is, another name for her is old age, Jara. So when time knocks at our door, the manifestations are old age. That's a signal. A signal that death is not too far. And along with Kalakanya or Chandavega are certain personalities. One is fear, bhaya. He's called Yavana Raja because he's untouchable. Nobody wants to touch him. Nobody wants him. Nobody wants to be close to him. He has an older brother. His name is Prajvara. It's the severe fever that one contracts at the time of death. Prabhupada says 107 degrees. So fear and Prajvara, they're always together, and they have this Kalakanya. They accept her as their sister. And together they have these 720 soldiers. The 360 male soldiers are the days of a year. And the 360 female soldiers are the nights of a year. And together they attack the body. And so we are at a stage where Puranjana is severely attacked by Prajvara, old age, and all of his possessions are being completely destroyed and plundered. So his city has a protector, a five-hooded serpent. This five-hooded serpent is the vital force that protects the body. In other purport, Prabhupada calls it the subtle body as well. So these five hoods represent the five pairs of airs within the body. And when old age and time inflict difficulties on the body, the senses or all these soldiers that Puranjana has, they are defeated, and the subtle body or the vital force becomes extremely aggrieved. And he cries out in pain, not knowing what to do. He's being attacked. He's about to die. His body is about to be burst into flames. And at such a condition, he is thinking about his wife and his children. So that's where we are in the narration of the pastime. Although he's about to die and he's about to leave his body, instead of thinking about what to do with his life, he's thinking about wife, children, etc. So he's thinking, when I leave, who will take care of my wife and children? They will be shelterless. They will be like a ship, the passengers on a ship that has been wrecked. They cannot survive without me. First of all, this is a false idea. Because a person thinks that he is indispensable. There is nobody like this in this world. Everybody is dispensable. It is the false ego that makes one think, without me, nothing can happen. Some might be a little humble and they might say, without me, nothing may not happen. Something may not happen. But I will be definitely missed. Nobody. Time and tide waits for no one. There is nobody who is indispensable. So there is a saying that the graveyard is full of indispensable people. And life moves on. Things move on. Time doesn't wait for anyone. It crushes everybody. Things happen. So one shouldn't be overly thinking, without me, what will happen to my wife? What will happen to my children? What will happen to my wealth? Etc. So Prabhupada is bringing our attention to how a man or any person who is about to die thinks about his family members. And Prabhupada gives another example of a politician. A politician also thinks about his country and all the policies he has made. But they don't understand that whatever state of consciousness one has at the time of death, the next body will be according to that consciousness. So a person who's thinking about his wife at the time of his death is so absorbed and so carried away by the thoughts of his wife that he becomes a woman in his next life. Instead of the little window of opportunity to completely stop any more taking of birth, again dying and all of this nonsense, that window of opportunity, instead of being used or utilized, he thinks about his wife and takes a birth, another birth as a woman. Or the politician, oh my country, my people, my policies. And Prabhupada says that they don't hesitate to even kill their opponents if necessary. And they're performing so many sinful activities just for aggrandizement. So they will come up with really bizarre policies that they don't really think about whether in the long term their citizens will be benefited. They're looking for short-term gains mostly. Especially in countries where the political systems are really unstable. Generally the US has fairly stable political system. But in other countries where the political systems are not stable, the politicians are not thinking about long-term benefit of the country. They know, I'm a minister today, in about a year and a half, 2 years, or maybe three, that's it. I will not remain a minister. So this is the short window that I can amass as much wealth as I can through corruption. And they're busy making money. So they pass all sorts of legislations just for their benefit. They will say, oh, in this land, we will construct a massive sports complex or stadium. And their brother-in-law or sister-in-law will get the contract for making that building. And they will earmark some millions of dollars worth of funds from the government treasury. 60% of it, the family will take it away, right? The rest of it they will use for bribing the other government officials. So in the process, whether or not the stadium really comes up for, you know, supporting sports, all these line of parampara of folks become extremely rich. That's how it works. So Prabhupada said, and if anyone interferes, they don't care. They'll get them killed if necessary. But because they're foolish, because they have a very myopic view of life, they don't understand that whatever legislations they have passed, when they die, either they die on their own, you know, of their own accord, disease or something, or they're murdered. So many politicians are murdered. Then they will have to take birth again in the same land and be on the receiving end of all the silly legislations that were passed by the same fellow. So silly. If I pass a legislation, I'm a politician, I pass a legislation, everybody shall pay 60% taxes because that's how we're going to keep this economy going. Somebody thinks, what a foolish legislation. I'm born again. And when I have to pay taxes, I have to give up 60% of my income. My own silliness comes to bite me. That's what Prabhupada's writing. Because persons don't see. They don't have a long-term view of life. So they're attached. And this attachment perpetuates one life to another, one life to another. So Prabhupada would sometimes quote the story of Kailash. We recently talked about Kailash. So Kailash was a very wealthy man, very attached. I'm going to go through this quickly. So Narada Muni comes one day to tell him, Kailash, take up chanting of Krishna's name. Do something about your life. Oh Narada Muni, you've come at such a wonderful time. It's my son has just been born. And all my prayers have been answered. Please bless this boy that he'll become very successful in his life. But right now I don't have time for spiritual life because I have to take care of my young child. So Narada leaves and says, okay, I'll come back at some other time. Then Narada calculates, oh, by this time Kailash's son must have grown and graduated from college. Kailash must be done. Let's go help him out. Kailash, now take up spiritual life. Narada, you have perfect timing. My son is about to get married to this very beautiful, wealthy girl of, you know, another family, and you've come at the right time. Please bless this wonderful couple. All right, now that your responsibilities are done, just give all this up and take up spiritual life very seriously. Oh, no, 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 Narada Muni. I would like to hold my grandchild in my arms. I would like to swing him and sing for him. After all, I want to see that my family is moving forward. Once my grandchild is born, then I can give all this up. Kailash. So Narada Muni comes back after some time. So like this, each time he comes, Kailash has some excuse. Finally, one day when he arrives at Kailash's house, he sees that a servant has opened the door, not Kailash. And all his relatives are at home. And he asks, what happened? He said, oh, you've come at a perfect time. Our relative Kailash is on his deathbed. Narada Muni, please come. So Narada says, Kailash, this is your final opportunity. Chant the name of Krishna. Remember Krishna. You know, Narada Muni, I have worked so hard for my family. I have collected all this wealth. And these fools, they don't know how to manage it. They will squander all of that wealth very quickly. Let me make a few adjustments. I've called the attorney to come. We're going to work it out. Once I sign those documents, nothing will happen to this property. My grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and even three generations after that can have no money problems. And Kailash dies at that moment. Because he's attached, he takes on the life of a dog in that house. So when Narada comes next time, just to see how the family is, he hears, you know, woof, Narada. Yeah, I know that voice. That is my friend, Kailash. And he's there with a nice collar, sitting on the couch, licking his private parts. It's like, what is, look at you, what have you done? What is your condition now? You used to be the master of this house. He said, what to do? I have to guard this place because real estate value has become so high that there are persons who want to take away this house that I built with so much of my blood and sweat. This is my house. Woof! Nobody can come here. So Narada leaves. So Narada comes back after a few years to check on Kailash, and he comes to know that the dog had died. He said, oh, he even lost that opportunity. Lord Narayana has empowered me to even help animals. But even Kailash is gone. So when he's walking in the backyard, he hears a hiss. Narada. Wow, this is Kailash. And he sees that Kailash has now become a snake. Because he's so attached, he's now a snake and guarding that property. And Narada says, look at you. From a wealthy human being who had so much opportunity, you became a dog. From a dog, you became a snake. Even now, I can help you. He says, help me. I'm guarding this property. So while they're having this conversation, naturally people cannot see Narada Muni because he's transcendental personality. They can see the snake. So his own great-grandchildren and all of them who are playing there, They look at the snake and they yell, "Ah, snake, snake, snake." So all his family members, they come out with sticks and stones and trash the heck out of him and kill him. His own family members. So like this, one from one lifetime to another lifetime without making any solution for the real problems of life. So Kailash is such a person. This science of transmigration is completely unknown to modern scientists. Why Prabhupada is talking about scientists in this case? Because scientists have taken on the responsibility of making life joyful for everyone. By the advancement of technology, they have concluded that life can become a fully pleasurable experience. There are two goals of anyone in life: to expand their sense gratification and to minimize any suffering or interference in that sense gratification. It is called atantik dukkha nivritti. To minimize any suffering, because that suffering is an impediment to experiencing or enjoying happiness through one's senses. So science has come out in the name of technological advancement. The scientists have declared that for the progress of humanity, when there is technological advancement, people will become happy. This is the essential principle of capitalism, because through technological advancement you're creating jobs. When you create jobs, you enhance productivity. When there is more productivity, there is a healthy economy. When there is healthy economy, there is profit. And when there is profit, all of the members of that economy benefit, because the profits are distributed. And by that, one can pursue their goals of life, because in a healthy economic framework, everyone has wealth. And by wealth, one can become happy. Very simple economic principle. And for the economy to become healthy, they need technological advancement, for which scientists are most valuable. So they enhance the experience of sense gratification. And the advancement of science is that after taking care of gross sense gratification, they're thinking about subtle sense gratification. Earlier, gross sense satisfaction was you had to have a phone to talk to your friend. Now it's subtler. You don't need that. You can do it online. You can tell all your friends with a little tweet what's happening in your life, and they all come to know. And you're happy that they all know, and they're all happy that they know. So everybody's tweeting, for example, or put their life on Facebook, spending hours and hours updating their Facebook profiles. Right now, life sucks. Oh, right now, this is happening. Right now, that's happening. And people are interested in knowing whose life is sucking out there. Mine too. Or no, do this or do that. This picture, that photo, this thing. What the heck is going on? But that's the enjoyment. I'm just picking on Facebook. We can pick on something else if you like, but it's the same thing. So devotees have to now creatively start thinking how to help people through, you know, to bring that also into the fold of Krishna consciousness. Earlier it was very easy. Everybody comes, sits under a tree or in a temple and hears and chants together. With the advent of such things like Facebook, the devotees have to think how to utilize this medium so that at least people are not lost out. Unfortunately, some get sakti. But that's the problem. New things are invented and new ways of how to extend someone's life. Why to extend someone's life? Is there meaning? Yeah, if you extend life, they can enjoy. They've come up with, this is just for example, they've come up with something called a stent, which is this very fine plastic or some polycarbon thing. And it is so tiny that they can inject into a vein and blow it so it goes right to wherever there is a blockage in the vein. So when the block opens, blood can freely flow. If blood can freely flow, this fellow will not have a heart attack or something, and he can use that time or energy in sense gratification. Hiking, biking, mountain climbing, Viagra, however he wants to use it. So Prabhupada saying the scientists don't understand that there is this transmigration. One's activities now have a consequence, have an outcome in one's tomorrow, day after, next life. When one understands that perspective, then they will take life more seriously. Otherwise, they will only think very short-term, myopic. Oh, what can I do to enjoy my senses? So here is Puranjana dying and thinking about his wife and children. And the Bhagavatam begins with Parikshit Maharaj, who's been cursed to die in 7 days. And he's looking at death very differently. He has given up all his responsibilities, not immaturely, he has done everything. He sits at the banks of the Ganges or the Yamuna with all the great sages giving him association, and he's asking a very vital question. What is a person's most important duty or activity at the time of death? That's how the Bhagavatam begins. And the second canto, first chapter, begins with Shukadeva Goswami's answer to this question. And he says, the question that you have asked is one of the best questions. It is the most beneficial of all questions. So the first 6 verses, I want to read the Sanskrit and translation, because those 6 verses describe why Puranjana is in the state that he's in. The Shukadeva Goswami begins, second canto, first chapter, with an invocation. He first remembers Krishna. And he says, Varyan Eshate Prashna. Question is top class, Varyan. It's glorious. Why? Krito lokahitam. Because by your question, you are benefiting the entire world. Because everyone is going to die, and everyone needs to know this. Atmavit sammata kumsa, shrotavya adishu yat parah. That this is the approved method. Transcendentalists have approved that the answer to this question is the most important subject matter for hearing. He says, for persons who are materially engrossed, nirnam santi sahasrashara shotavyadi, there are many subject matters they like to hear about. However, apashyatam atmatattva, they are not thinking about self-realization, because griheshu grihamedhina, they are busy in performing household duties or attached to household, attached to enjoying life through their senses. So Griha Medinam is not just married people. It's for those who would like to make a permanent residence in this world. They're attached to fruitive activities. They're very, very obsessed by making their material situation better. So how do they pass their life? Nidraya Kriyate Naktam. Vyavayeva Cha Vayaha. So they spend their nights in sleeping or having sex. Diva Cha Arthe Haya Rajan. And the daytime they spend in Arthe, in collecting things that they think are valuable. Money, possessions, name and fame, etc. And Kutumbha Bharane Nava. Or just to execute family responsibilities. They have to work very hard during the day, because they have a family to take care. They have to earn money, buy things, shopping, arrangement, like Jai Jagannath Prabhu says. Drapes, sofa, there's juicers, blenders, gadgets, and they have to go shopping, they have to clip coupons, search through all the papers, where are the sales going on, because they want to save the money that I, in trying to save money, they spend so much time, cutting coupons, carrying all this, driving the extra 3 miles because it's 50% off there, collect them, buy them, hang them up, admire them, invite friends, how nice, how. Then they have to cook and eat all of this, and they have to party together just because they bought something new and they want to show others. And that they got on sale. And they have to discuss, how much did you get it for? 40%. I got it 60% off. Oh, you're such a lucky brat. Yeah, I am. I actually have good deals. What is going on? One thing after another. The whole life is spent discussing how good they are at getting a deal. And there are people who set up websites, deal of the day, deal of the week, e-deal, day-deal, all these deals. And hours are spent scrolling through the deals. Printer, laser printer, 70% off, color printer, 30 pages per minute. I don't really need a printer, but the price is right. Get a printer. Get this, get that. Because, hey, it's a good deal. Like that. Diva Charte Haya Rajat Kutumba Bharane Nava. And these foolish people, that is conditioned souls, Deha Patya Kalatradishu Atma Shaineshu Asatswapi Tesham Pramattu Nidhanam Pashanapina Pashyati. It's right here, in their face, but they can't see it. And what is it? That these persons were devoid of self-realization because they're too attached to their family. They don't understand that even their family members are going to die. They're all fallible soldiers. And they are like children, wife, etc. Although sufficiently experienced, they've seen others are dying. Their fathers died, their grandfathers died, their relatives are dying. But they think, my family. They still do not see their inevitable destruction. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying, O descendant of Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries. Is there anyone who doesn't want to be free of miseries? No, everyone wants to be free of misery. But unfortunately, they act in ways by which they enhance their misery even more in trying to come out of it. It's like trying to get out of quicksand. The more one tries, the more one goes into quicksand. One who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul, the controller, and the savior from all miseries. Ichchata Abhayam. That's the phrase. If one wants to be free of bhaya, which by the way Puranjana is being attacked by, then one should hear about, glorify and remember the personality of Godhead. Then he's saying, Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam. It doesn't matter how you get there, whether it is through Sankhya Yoga that you analyze the whole material realm. Swadharma Parinishthaya. You may be very well established in your worldly duties. Janmalabha Parapumsam. Ante Narayana Smriti. It doesn't matter how you get there, but get there. And later he describes that these methods, being very good at Sankhya Yoga, being well established in one's worldly duties, these things don't help one remember Vishnu or Narayana at the time of death. If someone says, get to Chicago, you can come from Indianapolis to Chicago via New York. You can. If you fly some airlines, they take you all around the country to get you from one place to another. I was looking at some tickets to go to Gainesville. Chicago to Denver. Denver to Atlanta. Atlanta to Gainesville. $200. Like that. I mean, they just take you around the country, depending on where their hubs are. So you can get from Indianapolis to Chicago via New York. You can get to Chicago via Atlanta. You can even fly to San Francisco and come back. But you can come straight and not waste any time. So the process of devotional service is the straight method. It's the easiest, quickest method. All you have to do is call out Krishna's name. That's it. Doesn't take anything more than that. But people don't have time for it because they think, let me take care of this one thing in life and then I have time and only time. I have no problem. Just little few things I have to adjust in my life. Take care of the legal situation, take care of the money matters, take care of, you know, family disputes, take care of something, something, something. And then it's a Kailash story. One Kailash to another Kailash, one Kailash to another Kailash. So all great acharyas have explained, don't waste time trying to fix the material situations. They will never be fixed. Just spend all your energy, time in cultivating Krishna consciousness to the best of your ability in the association of devotees. Somehow or the other, then one can be free of fear. That's the message of this pastime so far. Any comments, questions, something you'd like to add? Jitendra Prabhu? The mic's here with Richard.
I was just thinking how this relates to something that's happening currently to our friend Ned.
What happened to Ned?
Well, he's been in and out of the hospital, you know, many times since the last winter when they stopped working. And, you know, he calls me from the hospital and he says, you know, I really got to start thinking about death, you know. So I thought, okay, you know, we can... I brought the fourth cano over there and I was going to relate to him, but then he's getting all these phone calls and then he's feeling a little better, you know, so he's starting to make all these plans again.
Right.
He says, well, you know, I want to go to see my sons in Arkansas and then I want to go see my wife in Yugoslavia. Before I do that, I want to go to Toronto and see my sister. And I did a lot of good things in my life and I want to have a mausoleum made for my burial. And so it's just like going on and on. But, you know, just when he started getting a little better, you know, he was able to walk around a little and he walked over to the temple. He was here the other night and he was looking for me. And then he has a relapse, and then you know it just kind of bounces back and forth.
Material energy is like a cruel master, and is almost like an interrogation chamber or something. Grab a person by the head and dunk that head in water. Life is good right now. Again. And that little moment of gasping for a breath seems like, this is so good. Life's good. It's not so bad after all. Back in the water again.
He starts immediately making plans, you know. But when the health goes down, they diminish. But then it gets a little vibrant, and then he's like, got all these ideas. Hare Krishna.
Any online? Ankit Vora? Okay, anyone else? Here, Jitendra Prabhu. Dvijamani Gaura Prabhu.
Prabhu, if we're hearing about at the time of death, whatever thoughts we might be absorbed in will carry us to the next place, then isn't it possible that one can just like, I was reading a correspondence with Srila Prabhupada and one professor, and this professor was a Sanskrit and a scholar of the Bhagavad Gita, and he would argue with Srila Prabhupada about some points, especially about chanting. So his whole life he's absorbed in studying the Shastra and thinking about Krishna's words. So and he doesn't have a spiritual master. So is it just simply...
Now, such a person if they have served Vaishnava, then they have an opportunity.
Somewhere, This is a question from Rao. Rao? He said, Hare Krishna Prabhu, if you advise us to not worry about fixing material situations, then can we at least offer a prayer to Krishna to help fix our situation so we can better serve him?
Let my mind get back. regardless of the circumstances. Pray little good efforts. That just like the Ganges, that rushes forward towards the ocean, regardless of what obstacles there might be, that my mind will be going to. So that's pray on this way. Our faith may not be there, but that's our mind. So wherever we are, we might offer a prayer to Krishna according to our faith. And it may be my dear Krishna, this situation is very important. And I'm unable to do this.
Like that. But there is a tendency in that. Suppose I don't have a job. I don't have a job. Suppose I don't have a job and I'm unable to think of Krishna because I'm overly worried about a job. So to pray to Krishna, please get me a job so I can think of you better. If that's where our faith is, that's where it is. But we have to understand that this is not the purest of prayers. The purest of prayers is, my dear Krishna, let me think of you, regardless of what is happening. How can I build my Krishna consciousness so I can think of you, regardless of material circumstance? Because my natural tendency is to go first fix it. I went to school for it. I have degrees for fixing things. And I'm very good at it too. Magna cum laude, summa cum laude, because I did everything very well. I know how to fix situations. Like that. Okay. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.